Friends, you know, this time yesterday morning, being in Dublin, on the streets of Dublin, fabulous weather and sun shining brightly, I wanted to welcome Niall Gibbons, first of all a friend of mine, for many of the long year. As a matter of fact, well, first of all, you're welcome. Niall Gibbons.
Can I start by saying, Adrian, welcome home? It's nice to be able to say that. Every time you interview me, it's in New York. So this is the first time we've done a show in Dublin, and it's great to be here, being able to sit outside in a hotel in the centre of Dublin, and congratulate you on your magnificent award yesterday from the President of Ireland for your distinguished service overseas. And I read in a book written by Ray O'Hanlon recently, our good friend from the Irish.
Yes, indeed.
Echo. That you came to America first in 1959.
Yeah.
And you've been broadcasting since 1971. So it's a
No, 69.
69.
Even. But nobody was listening for the first 2 years, so you're right.
well, we're all listening now, and I think it was great to get that award yesterday. I think it was fitting recognition for all the great work that you've been doing and being the voice of the Irish in America over all that time. So welcome home, and it's great to see you.
Thank you very much. And, of course, you couldn't let it go, the occasion go, without, of course, being named most influential Irish CEO on LinkedIn for the second year in a row, which is all right. I mean, you couldn't have timed this. You couldn't wait until I went back for this. You know, come on.
Well, it's nice to see two guys of Mayo connections getting a bit of recognition. As a previous Irish minister once said, I never knew a dog that preferred a pat on the back than a kick in the backside. Really. But I think it's always good to get a bit of recognition. But yours is well deserved, and thank you very much. And mine pales in comparison.
Okay, well, now we're getting into the one-upmanship. This is Mayo Trade, friends. We do that. It's called slagging, I think, which is something that, over 50 years, some people wonder, why is this fellow inviting guests on his program and then, you know, giving the old jab once in a while? That is so much a part of an Irish trait. The better you know somebody, actually, you know, the deeper the ice pick is. But it's a great tradition, and it's one that indeed has West of Ireland roots anyway.
It sure does. I mean, we never got to, because of COVID, of course, we never got to have a banter this year about Mayo and the All-Ireland, but here we are.
You had to bring that up too. Oh, well, now. Let's try and bring this up. But this coming year, this is going to be it, you know. Anyway, listen, let's get to the number of people that I've met. Now, it's leading up to Christmas. There's a great number of Americans already in Ireland, and there seems like there are no hurry back either. And we're not even into the Christmas season yet, but Dublin in particular, we didn't get outside of Dublin on this trip, but Dublin seems like the Christmas has already begun. It's so many events that some people may think, well, maybe that'll be toned down this year. You'd never know it in Dublin now. You know?
Yeah, it's been a big change over the last 6 months, and as we know, Ireland opened internationally for tourists on the 19th of July, and the United States opened up for international tourists from Europe, including Ireland, on the 8th of November, and that has helped to change the game. So we certainly are seeing what we expected, which is a large influx of people, mainly to visit friends and family, because as we know, people have been disconnected for the last couple of years, and all those big occasions that count for Irish people, including births and deaths and marriages,
yes,
family occasions, they've really missed them, and there's been a big homecoming, I suppose, over the last number of months.
Yes.
We've seen a bit of a blip in the last couple of days, it has to be said, Omicron, and the implications of that are a bit unclear right now, so we just have to wait and see, and hopefully the best case scenario will be that the current vaccine program works against that variant, and we'll be back on track then in early 22. And that's something worth saying, actually. The vaccination program in Ireland has been an amazing story, because where we see divisions and upheavals in other countries with trying to encourage, you know, significant numbers to get vaccinated, there are now 93% of the population over the age of 12 fully vaccinated. And it's been a great safety net from the perspective of COVID here. So again, despite the blip that we're seeing at the moment and the uncertainty with regard to Omicron, I think next year, as we look towards the summer of 22, we're still reasonably confident. The air carriers are putting in capacity. People want to get back to travelling. That's what they're telling us. And Tourism Ireland will be out there with a very strong campaign next year.
The airlines, and let's start with Aer Lingus. The capacity for next year, compared to 2019, it would appear that there's actually, this is not going to be a gradual increase, but actually the airlines that are on a tight budget themselves are expanding, you know, expanding the capacity and trying to get back to, you know, 2019 levels.
Yeah, the airlines are putting back in capacity at a pace quicker than we thought. So our Aer Lingus have announced their summer schedule for 2022. In addition to the big gateways like Boston, New York, Chicago, we're delighted that, you know, the likes of Washington DC, Philadelphia, Seattle, LA, San Francisco, all on the map, Orlando, really, really busy schedule. It'll be about 85% to 90% of 2019 capacity. That's very, very good. And when you combine that, Aer Lingus would carry about half the passengers into Ireland. When you combine that with the likes of American, who will also put in Texas and Charlotte and two other gateways as well, United doubling their Dublin route, and also Delta as well, we will probably see about 85% of the 2019 capacity, and that's good news for people who are looking to get back home and looking to get to Ireland for a holiday as well.
Of course, the great news, particularly from those from the west of Ireland, is that access to Shannon, you know, from the United States again, a commitment from Aer Lingus, you know, get back to almost normal, that's also got to be great, great news.
We're really pleased to see that, because I think the gateways into the west of Ireland are so, so important. It offers an awful lot to the American tourist, really, really popular part of Ireland, and we're delighted that we're going to see them back into Shannon Airport, and we've kept in very close contact with Shannon. It's been a very difficult time from a tourism perspective, but really looking forward now to the summer of 22, and it's just acknowledged the great work as well the Cork Airport have done, and Knock Airport, not served directly from the United States, but popular destinations as well. And Kerry Airport has got flights in from Britain and Europe as well. They're all still going, and they'll all still be back in 22, and looking forward to welcome the customers back in.
I want to ask you about the ambitious campaign, television advertising, social media, that it seems like Ireland again has the jump on that. It's refreshing and across the United States to see the Tourism Ireland, you know, the ads and the impact of that. That has, you know, for many countries that are kind of wait and see, having with that attitude, it's terrific to see. You know, Tourism Ireland really getting out there.
Yeah, we were out there ready with that campaign to go called the Green Button. You know, it's about activation.
The Green Button.
We have got to realise there's a lot of competition out there. There are a lot of destinations fighting for business. But our Green Button campaign was out there in time in July when Ireland reopened for international tourists. We had our minister out, Catherine Martin, out in the marketplace as well. We visited New York, we visited Chicago, we went to the Ryder Cup, which will be coming to Adair Manor in 2027. I think it was great for the minister to see it firsthand, the real desire for Americans to travel again, but particularly from the United States into Ireland. And she increased the Tourism Ireland budget by 65% in the budget as a demonstration of the government's commitment to tourism. So that's really welcome. It means that in the United States next year, we will be out with a really strong campaign. We'll be out in all major channels all year long. We'll be in somewhere between 6 and 8 gateways on television next year. We have a very strong digital campaign as well. We've got one of the strongest digital presences in the world of a tourist board, and we'll be utilising that. We're working with the airlines. I mean, right now we're out with Aer Lingus at the moment, and we'll be working with the other airlines as well and airports, pushing that ease of access into Ireland. And remember now, it's getting to a stage where from the east coast of the United States, it's only about 5.5 hours. It's actually almost becoming a short-haul destination from the east coast. And the direct access on the west coast is a big thing for us as well, because not just tourism, but also the business community as well, you know, visiting friends and family. There are a lot of Irish people over on the west coast too. Having that access into LA, San Francisco and Seattle is really important for us.
You know, you have, indeed, when you... We weren't really aware of the impact, you know, of our ancestry, and you got out of turf spade, and you really, again, in finding cousins and finding family members, you know, whether they wanted to be found or not is beside the point. But the people who knew that somewhere there was a great connection with Ireland, you really led that aspect of tourism as well by finding cousins and you know, family members all over the place, including the United States.
Yeah, well, ancestry has always been a big thing, and you and me talked 10 years ago about the gathering, which was, you know, original calling home and the impact that had. I think with the improvement in technology, it has actually brought genealogy really onto the front page now. And I think combined with COVID, one of the things that we did know was that, you know, in times of crisis, people often look back to the past to find comfort. In my own case then, actually, it was, you know, my relations, as you know, come from Mayo and Roscommon, and a lot of Mayo people headed off to the States. And we knew people had gone, but we didn't know anything about them. And with the resources that are there now online, I was able to search and find out that, two great aunts of mine, Mary and Annie Brennan, had headed off as far as Ellis Island in 1910. And after that, the trail had gone a bit cold. But with the help of social media, I was able to find that they went to Philadelphia, and one of them got married in Manhattan. They ended up settling in New Jersey. They turned up in the New York census in 1920 with the family, and then 1930 with an expanded family. And then, of course, the records, the official records, go a bit cold then. But with the use of social media and death notices in newspapers, you can find the next generation. So whereas genealogy sometimes is about finding the dead,
I know,
I was actually trying to find the living. and unusually, I decided through Facebook to cold call into a few people that whose names matched, and I managed to land on a lot of second cousins who, you know, the Brennans became the Nearys, and now have married into families and become Pillars and Miserlecks and Churchios and Driscolls. And so it's nice to be connected on Facebook, and maybe in 2022 we might get to meet in real life when I get to travel over again. But it was nice to be able to do that. It was a journey I never expected, and it had a happy ending.
North America is indeed it's an integral part of not only tourists but the economy of Ireland, the number of jobs, the employment, of course, the financial benefits in Ireland, as Ireland is everywhere else, is trying to get back on track. Employment in the tourism industry in Ireland, is that, again, holding up in the sense that with all of the layoffs that we've had, you know, in various sections and industries in the United States, many of them struggling to get back, and some of them indeed having, you know, dismal outlook, and the particularly, you know, in the areas of hospitality. What is the effect of, and what has the effect been for the last 18 months in Ireland with respect to, you know, employment and the, not only the tourism sector, but the offshoots, those that rely on tourists?
Yeah, it's been fairly profound, it has to have said, because we've never encountered a crisis like this. I mean, I've been through many things. I came into tourism just after 9/11. And, you know, we've gone through many other things like the global financial crisis and others. but nothing so profound that it actually turned off the switch for the entire globe of tourism and travel industry. What we saw in Ireland is not terribly different from what we've seen in other countries as well. A lot of people left the sector because while tourism and hospitality may be struggling and going through a stop-start motion at the moment, there are other industries that have been doing very, very well, like pharma and medtech and IT. So a lot of people have drifted and moved from hospitality into those industries, and that will present a challenge for the industry when things get moving again, because what will happen is that, you know, demand will start to increase, and I think the industry, you know, will be faced with the challenge of bringing in new labour and making sure they're trained. The big challenge for Ireland is that, you know, one of the big outstanding characteristics that make Ireland stand out as a destination is the quality and warmth of the Irish welcome. I think the good news is that that's still there. It's still in the DNA. You don't lose that after 250 years in hospitality. But it will mean that as new people come into the industry, the importance of training them, you know, bringing them on board, bringing them on the journey, I'm confident we'll do it. It'll be a big challenge, but it's one that every industry is facing. Hospitality has relied on a lot of international workers who have gone back to their home countries as well.
Yes.
So it'll be interesting to see what happens there as well. It's just too early to call. But look, the future we feel is still bright. I mean, we're looking at economic forecasts that see hospitality and tourism in Ireland recovering to its 2019 levels by about 2025. That's not that far away. It's only 3 or 4 years.
Right.
The airlines certainly have been very bullish in relation to the capacity that they're putting in. Obviously, markets like Britain next door, mainland Europe and North America are going to be the ones leading the way. And long-haul markets like Australia, New Zealand, Asia will take a little bit longer to recover. But the fundamentals of the industry, while they have been shaken, I think are still very strong. And I look forward to the long-term future with optimism.
And also, of course, Alison Metcalf has been out front throughout the pandemic at times, you know, when most people would say, well, let's wait and see what happens. This is not a wait and see industry, number one, and Ireland, it's great to see that Ireland is out front. Just from the few days that we have been in Ireland, it is amazing that whereas, you know, on our side of the Atlantic, you know, many of the events are being cancelled on short notice. But here we have, you know, Ireland is doing, all the events seem to be going ahead full steam. And there is great, it's very positive, you know, and if you compare to where we are, where we're looking at, see what's open, what's not, you're following through on the plan that you had, with very few exceptions.
There was a reopening plan, and the intention was by the 22nd of October to get everything open and back functioning again as normal. Now, we've hit a blip at the moment in relation to the Omicron variant, and that certainly is starting to curtail larger events. And, I mean, I think in the run-up to Christmas as well, you know, I think everyone wants to enjoy Christmas and do it in a safe manner. But I think, you know, the optimistic scenario, and I am an optimist, is that the vaccine program, which has been very strong here, hopefully will hold against that variant, and we'll get back to normal in the early part of next year. And, you know, the key summer season for us really starts in March. That's when people really start to travel. And then from May onwards, it gets very strong. And the feedback from the industry here is that, you know, we face into a, you know, fingers crossed, a very good summer next year. And we will welcome many people from the United States next year, and we'll have the green carpet rolled out for all of them, and you're here leading the way.
Well, thanks for joining us indeed, and we'll be hearing a lot more. Niall Gibbons, CEO, Tourism Ireland, worldwide, and again, Mayo Roots, what would you expect? Friends are listening to Irish Radio Network USA, Flannelly Show Live.